You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 29th of September, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 climbing today, a good day for the market. The S&P ASX 200 up by about 0.9%. We'll have the details with Kyle Rodder from capital.com in a few moments. But first, the Treasurer says the government's been able to pay down about $188 billion worth of debt than what it inherited, saving tens of billions of dollars in debt interest over the next decade. The government today revealing a final budget outcome, $10 billion in deficit for the last financial year. While it ends two consecutive years of surpluses, it is better than the near $28 billion deficit it forecast before the election. What does it really say about the economy? For that and more, I spoke with Stephen Smith, a partner at Deloitte Access Economics. So, Stephen, the Treasurer claims this as the largest nominal improvement in the budget in a single parliamentary term, and that it's one of the strongest budgets in the G20. Is it?
It is. Both of those things are true, but as usual, context matters. So, of course, 2022, when the Labor first came to power, we were right in the midst of COVID. And so the federal budget was suffering the consequences of a shutdown of the economy and enormous compensation and payments to businesses and households. So the budget has absolutely roared back since then. Mostly that's a recovery of the economy story and a recovery of the global economy and commodity price story rather than a good budget management story. But it is certainly true that it's been a significant turnaround and that Australia's got a very sound budget position relative to its advanced economy peers. So both those things are true, but context matters.
Yeah, and for more of that context, how much of it has to do with, for example, the strong labour market? Who should take the credit?
Look, that certainly accounts for some of this improvement in the budget bottom line, but not all of it. And if we look at how the economy panned out in 2024-25, which is when this budget outcome relates to, relative to what was expected, actually growth was a little bit lower. Employment growth was a little bit lower as well. The unemployment rate was better than expected. And so that drove a little bit of a better take from personal income tax than what was anticipated. But the big money here is really in company tax, something in the order of sort of $4 to $5 billion in additional company tax, as well as taxes on superannuation, which is partly a result of very strong asset prices and very healthy share market in 2024-25 as well. So there's lots of different moving parts. Strong labor market was part of it. And I think people need to recognize that they've done their fair share with bracket creep and people paying a bit of extra as they have got pay rises as well. But company tax and taxes on superannuation were big parts of this improvement too.
It's acknowledged, though, it has more work to do. What kind of work?
Well, I think the government knows that, whilst this outcome was better than expected, there is a decade of deficits ahead. And so, what we want to see is a budget that's in a sound position, that is a balanced position over the medium term. There's a lot of pressures on the budget, both on the spending side with some, fast growth in important and big programs, including things like defence and the NDIS. On the other hand, there's pressure on the tax take too, with population ageing, for example, and a big reliance on company tax and global commodity prices. So, there's some tax reform to be done. There's some restructuring of the budget and some spending to get under control. So I think that's what the government's referring to when it talks about more work to do. And, certainly we'd be in favour of seeing a balanced budget over the medium term, which it will put Australia in a good position into the future.
And finally, what does this ultimately really mean for the average person out there when we're talking about this?
Well, look, in terms of today's announcement, not enough, not very much. There's a fair bit of political kind of bluster in talking about this result, but what it does mean ultimately, I think, is that people are paying too much tax on the wages that they take home every day, that bracket creep remains an issue. The government is handing back some of that over the next couple of years, but Really, people should be recognizing that they're paying, a fair bit of tax, and that, clearly it's the government is sort of crowing about its fiscal management, but it's people paying tax, it's companies paying tax, which is where, this result's come from.
That is Stephen Smith there from Deloitte Access Economics. Let's take a closer look at the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 rose today by about 0.8%. With the details, I spoke with Kyle Rodder from Capital.com. Kyle, first of all, what's driving the market today?
Strong lead from Wall Street after basically a tame inflation read in the United States. Still some way away from the Fed's target, but it was pretty much in line with the month earlier. So the market's really buying into that notion that the Fed will be able to cut rates in October and December, and that kind of uplift has supported Australian equities as well.
That's the US Fed. What about the RBA? It's starting its two-day meeting today. What's it likely to do tomorrow, and how's it likely to affect the share market?
Yeah, so economists expecting basically no move. That's almost a consensus call. Market participants are pricing in 6-7% chance of a cut, really negligible. So they probably hold interest rates. But the critical detail will be about how the RBA responds to this recent spate of CPI indicator data that suggests inflation may be picking up again towards the top end of the RBA's target band, and to what extent that'll impact the timing of the next RBA cut. So before that data, the markets were really banking or pricing in that there'd be a cut before the end of the year. That's been sort of pushed out to March 2026. So that'll be the crucial narrative there. If they sort of signal comfort that inflation is still, sort of under control and focus their energies on the labor market, that could bring forward those probabilities, boost stocks. But if they don't sound a little bit hawkish, that might weigh on the market a little bit.
Banks are having a stiller day today. Why do you think that is?
There was a pretty big jump in cyclicals after that inflation data in the States. And again, it's sort of that factor of market participants betting that there'll be rate cuts coming through from the US Federal Reserve, that will have an impact on global economic activity, boost sort of cyclical areas of the market. There is also that element there that banks often improve a little bit as far as their share price goes when the yield curve steepens a little bit. So short end rates drop, long end rates stay a little bit higher. So it's also a bit of a factor that we are seeing money flow into sort of large caps, higher quality names recently. So again, on sort of those days where market sentiment is solid, there's that hope for, some strength through cyclicality. The banks are one sector that often outperforms.
Okay. The other interesting thing is the pharma stocks. Most of them are back up following Friday's news that Donald Trump will be applying a 100% import tariff on pharma imports. So was it a bit of a knee-jerk reaction then?
Yeah, it was a knee-jerk reaction. I think there is that kind of market dynamic that prevails sometimes when there is absolutely new news that enters the market, that you sort of shoot first and ask questions later, really, because you don't have that much time to react. But what we've seen over the last couple of days is that, we understand now that some of these companies won't be caught by these tariffs. For example, we have Pro Medicus coming out today suggesting that, really it's not an issue, that they're not going to be sort of impacted at all. So we saw a pretty significant rebound in healthcare stocks today. A little bit of a relief rally came through after effectively being able to digest the intricacies of this policy.
I know it's not a big company, but it's still interesting. Shares of NRL team, the Brisbane Broncos, hit a record high after its preliminary win against Penrith. It's now set up for a grand final meeting with Melbourne Storm next weekend. I didn't even know that this company was listed, that the Brisbane Broncos was listed. What do you know about it?
I was actually exactly the same. I didn't know it was listed. There's a lot of sports franchises that are listed around the world. Manchester United is a very popular one. But hit another high today, obviously really positive for shareholders there on the back of obviously the commercial benefits that come through from having a successful football team. I've got to say I'm a parochial Melbourne person. Brisbane won the AFL grand final on the weekend. So if I was to make a trade out of this, it would hopefully be short Broncos, long Storm. But that's up until today, pretty much as I've known about it. But again, clearly the flow on effects of a successful sporting team to a share price.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
The conversation's really centered around fears of crash or correction, really, because we're seeing stocks melting up to record highs, valuations by some metrics as rich as we've seen since maybe even the dot-com bubble. So there's a lot of people fearful that maybe we're heading for an imminent crash. My message to them is that absolutely we're at a market that is incredibly prone to shocks at the moment because of the way that valuations are and that positioning is and all these sort of narratives around AI and what have you. But those things aren't a timing indicator, so the market can run a lot further even irrespective of all of that. And that as a result, it's probably a bit of a buy the break kind of dynamic that when we do break out to record highs, that's a bullish signal. So it's just trying to understand the psychology of market corrections at the moment, identifying that obviously things are very, very rich right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to go in reverse anytime soon.
That's Kyle Rotter there from Capital.com, wrapping up the podcast for this Monday.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.